You save us! You help us!
We are protected!
Hey everyone, and welcome to I'm Not Here to Make Friends, a reality show podcast! It's going to be our last one for Big Brother season.
Yep.
I'm Allison.
I'm Brian.
And there's just two of us. No one else. Everyone else has been evicted.
Somebody got fired.
We've been firing people due to technical difficulties on finale night.
First was research assistant Logan Pants.
Yep.
He no longer gets his kibble.
Yep.
Second, it was, just kidding everybody, Big Brother Mike's here. Yeah, Big Brother Mike!
I was worried for a minute. I thought I was gone. It was one of those.
We are the kind of jerks that will call you up to tell you you're fired over a podcast.
Yeah.
Won't even send me a text.
I will. I'll FedEx you termination papers on your wedding day.
Get back under your stairs.
I would do that. I would totally do that.
All right, we're here to talk about the finale of Big Brother. I mean, oh, first of all, there you go, Allison.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
Mint beer?
Mint beer? No, you're not. That's a Diet Coke.
Mint beer? That sounds as bad as watermelon beer.
The mint, it's okay. It's not, actually, I have some mint stout. It is just not minty enough. I'd like it to be a little more minty, to tell you the truth.
And how dare you talk down about 21st Amendment watermelon beer? It's by far the best beer in the known universe.
It's really good.
You know what I heard is good, though?
What's that, Big Brother Mike?
Ginger beer with vodka in it.
Yeah, perhaps. I would just get alcoholic ginger beer.
Yeah.
Well, isn't all ginger beer alcoholic?
No.
Ginger beer is like root beer.
Oh, well.
Birch beer. Yeah.
This is the alcoholic ginger beer with vodka in it and other stuff.
That's craziness.
And an ice cube.
Ew.
An ice cube.
In Wait, little co-
what
in
are
little...
you? What are you, like, British and drinking your Magners? Right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The one that they're like, Sir Patrick Stewart advertises for it on the TV now, and he
I thought
has
he was
thing
doing
of ice.
Strongbow.
But he has the thing of ice. It's a Strongbow too, but there's manga.
I know. Manga? That's a Japanese cider.
Oh, okay. Is it fucking no?
In a copper mug.
No, why? Okay, can I ask a question? Why are copper mugs becoming so popular right now?
I don't know. That's the new way it's the way you serve your mules.
That is true. Your Moscow mule is always supposed to have been in a copper cup.
I have so many friends on Facebook right now who are not drinking Moscow mules that are drinking things out of copper mugs. I'm pretty sure, like, Kettle One is just giving them to bars.
Oh, that might be true.
Especially around the Chicagoland area.
So that's, you gotta be trendy somehow, I guess. That's how.
Speaking of the Chicagoland area, we're having postseason baseball!
Ooh! Yeah. It's been quite a while for you guys.
I have plans now into October. It's lovely. Postseason baseball will be upon us soon. I'm flying my W. It's going to be amazing. A timely thing. This won't mean anything to anyone because it's on the day we're recording and nobody listens to it on that day. But CM Punk did the seventh inning stretch today.
Boo.
He sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And he told sing it loud so that everyone in Pittsburgh can hear. Because they were playing the Pirates.
Pirates. I saw a sad old man walking around on my way to do, like, my one chore for the day.
Yeah.
He was wearing a Pirates, like, jersey. I was like, why aren't
a
you watching?
A Pirate-like jersey?
A Pirates jersey.
Oh.
It would have been even more interesting if he was actually wearing a Pirates leg.
That's not where that I thought this so was going. Cool.
No, I was like, just like, why aren't you home watching like the game, old man?
How did you even know they were playing the Pirates today?
Because you told me, like, 80 times today. Jeez, Allison.
What I thought would have been hilarious is if it was Cubs Brewers in Milwaukee and Punk is singing the seventh inning stretch. Because he lives in Milwaukee now half the time.
Nobody thinks that's funny except for you.
And then he would still
Not one of our listeners thinks this is interesting. It's just like how you feel about the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
Everybody loves the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
But anyway, what we're here to actually talk about is Big Brother.
Yes, we're going to be talking about the memory lane piece.
Clip show nonsense.
And then we'll be talking about the finale.
Finale.
It's just that simple, people.
Whee!
So we walked down memory lane. Not too much happened here.
No, not really.
They had a pretty gross-looking breakfast. Why is it breakfast now? Like, remember it used to be, like, dinner, and they would give them, like, steak and lobster?
Turkey leg.
Yeah.
Big old turkey leg. Like, from Frontierland.
No.
Here's your turkey leg.
But it used to be food that's worth it. Now it's breakfast, and it's some sad-looking gross French toast. Before you know it, they're just going to start, like, here's a box of fucking Fruit Loops. Talk about what the hell I tell you to, monkeys.
Yeah. Drink your mimosas and eat these donuts.
Here's your cue. Say this. And then we can go into our clip package. One of the things that was cool about the clip package is you got to see quite a bit of Johnny Mac.
You know, a little more Mac attack.
I'm pretty sure Steve legit has a crush on Johnny Mac. Let's discuss this. Do you think Steve has a crush on Johnny Mac, Big Brother Mike?
Well, I don't know. That goes back to the season-long controversy about Steve.
And his secret.
And his secret. That he was... said he was going to, at some point in time, reveal to Vanessa. But to the best of my knowledge, never reveal this final secret to Vanessa.
And lots of people are thinking it's that he's either bisexual or gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He says his family knows. I mean, it's not like it's an outing.
A secret from his family, or even a secret from most people that know him, but yeah. It was apparently a secret from casting and the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, he was worried that if they had already cast the gay member of the cast this year, then there was no room for him.
Right. Well, he knew if he could go in as the nerdy dude, since that has been a character they've started casting, that's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of scenes with Johnny Mac where I said, I think he legit has a crush on him, either that or it's just edited very well to make us believe that. I know that's the joke they were going for.
Yeah.
But his body language and his mannerisms became very much like a teenager flirting with someone. Where if it was just being funny, like, you wouldn't get that. So Johnny Mac was laying on the bed, and Steve was like, I could go for a cuddle. And he tries trying to cuddle with, like, a girl or whatever. And Johnny Mac's like, I'll cuddle you. And so they cuddle for all of 2 seconds, and Steve is like, this is weird now. But he automatically, like, puts his arm, like, on Johnny Mac's, like, belly. Like, it's not just like, okay, we're going to cuddle. Here's a manly, like, I'm draping my arm over you.
No, no, no. See, that one was just fine by me. Especially how quickly he brought... No, because the role was him, like, cuddling up like a girl.
I know, but I'm saying...
But the other one.
Yes, but I'm going to get to that one. I'm going to get to all
three. The first one does not even matter.
But he puts his hand, like, on his belly, and then immediately is like, no, no, no.
So he's playing the joke and realized that he should act like
it's
weird.
It's the knee-jerk. And Johnny Mac's like, it doesn't need to be sexual, which is hilarious.
That one to me meant nothing. That was the joke.
Then there was...
I don't know why... I only remember two. I can't think of this third one.
No, there was one where they were saying something, and Steve uses his fingers to point, and he said something like, that's the bet. And he says it very staccato, and that's the bet. And I can't tell you how many times when I've been flirting, I do silly little things like that. Because that's what you do. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's weird.
All right, whatever.
It's weird. It's totally weird.
You're reading in the weird thing.
No, I'm just telling you.
No, I think you...
It's flirty.
You are so off base.
No. Ryan, it's flirty. So the next time we're hanging out with our cute friends and you see me being like, bah, 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 you'll be like, oh, shit, she's flirting. Because that's what I'm doing. Legit.
I think it was the unaired scene when Steve bent Johnny Mac over in the supply room and dry humped him, but maybe that's just me.
That didn't happen?
If Steve was a bro, I would totally see that happening as a joke. Like, ha ha, I dry humped my buddy. Very frat boy homoerotic.
That did not happen.
Steve
is not that kind of guy.
But the real
one... If Jace did it to anybody, I would be like, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. The last one is when they're talking, and Steve says, man, I would just kiss anybody in the house right now. And Jimex's like, yeah. And Steve goes, have you ever made out with a guy? And John's just like, no.
No.
And then Steve's just like, oh, okay. Like, it wasn't even, like, funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was my Johnny Mac laugh. But yeah, I don't know. I think Steve may legit have a little crush on Johnny Mac, and I don't blame him. I have a little crush on Johnny Mac.
Johnny Mac's a pretty cool guy.
He's a super cool guy, so I cannot blame Steve. Other than that, there really wasn't too much to the memory portion.
No. Well, then we did see one, non-fight between Liz and Austin where Austin calls her a bitch.
Oh, yeah,
because
then they
she
have
doesn't
a food
like his
fight.
Chicken, and then they have an all-out food fight. I have never, ever in my life known a girl where you can even jokingly usually say, especially that early on, stop being a bitch, without them getting super effing mad at you. And Liz was just like, ha, 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 and then food started getting thrown. She took that very well, I thought.
See, I don't mind being called a bitch, but I have a problem when it's like, Cause sometimes I am. I get it. Right? But I do have a problem with all these girls that try to be like bad bitches. That's more what I have a problem with.
Wow, what
than,
does that mean?
Like, oh, I'm a bad bitch. Like, Bad Girls
what?
Club. Bad
oh,
Girls
okay.
Club kind of.
I just think, is there a
bad
roving
girls,
group
like,
of girls
like
going,
bad
like, I'm
club.
Such a bad bitch. Look yeah. at my bad bitchness. I'm such a bad bitch.
They live right next door to all the basic bitches.
Oh.
Yeah, in Bitchton.
Shout out to
in
Becky.
Bitchton.
Bitchton.
But no, Bitchton or like any wrestling diva at this point in time.
They're all bad bitches.
Bad bitches. They play the bad bitch. Bad bitches. I'm such a bad bitch.
I like the baby dolls.
The baby are, dolls?
Yeah,
that's what you call a baby face for a wrestling.
They're very, yeah, that's the baby face.
Baby dolls and bad
females,
bitches.
Females.
Little cuties. They wear the little. The little skirty skirts.
No.
The little skirty skirts, yeah.
And they have, like, pigtails in their hair.
No.
And they're very innocent.
No, and that's, I don't even think that's proper terminology.
I made it up.
I know you did. That's not even proper terminology.
It's going to be a new thing.
There is no difference.
It's the baby dolls.
The baby dolls and the bad bitches, as opposed to heels and faces.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't have an issue with people. Why are you being such a bitch? But I do have a problem with all these women that
you,
like
that. That's because you've heard that your entire life. You become immune to it.
You've owned it,
that's
Allison.
That's true, though.
You have owned it. Just apparently like Liz has.
True fact.
She's owned it. She's like, oh, whatever.
True fact.
It didn't disrupt this conversation whatsoever.
True fact.
True.
I still don't like your chicken.
That is indeed a true fact. That chicken was horrible. I
don't like the marinade doll.
The marinade. Austin, I don't like the marinade. Alright, other than that, nothing really happened.
No.
Vanessa tried to act, which was funny.
Yeah, she's bad.
Because, of course, they tell them what to say to go down memory lane. Like, oh, and then remember...
Well, we all know Steve can't act.
Remember Shelley and Clay?
Yeah.
You guys remember them? You guys remember Shelley and Clay? Yeah, we remember Shelley
so
and Clay.
So bad. It was so awkward.
Oh, my God. And then you were in a showmance because I'm Vanessa, and I just talk really fast all the time. This is all I do. You guys, do you remember when Vanessa was all like, hey, guys, you came in with a twin? What? That was crazy. That's my Vanessa impression. And then it instantly goes into tears.
That was a pretty spot on Vanessa.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Should be able to cry on command.
You guys, okay, this is what we're going to do, because you need to do this, and then if you do this, and then I can do this, and then everybody will get kicked out of the house except us, and then you'll take me to Final 3, and then I can take you to Final 2, even though I really won't, because in my head I'm not really going to take it to you, and it is crazy. It's crazy.
Not a bad Vanessa.
It was so crazy. You guys.
You guys.
You guys. Yeah, other than that, we knew this was going to be a pretty bad episode.
Yeah, we did.
But we do see the beginning part of... the final HOH.
Yeah.
The first part of the final HOH. There's three parts for you that are just showing up to the party.
Yeah.
This one is always usually an endurance one. Can't think of a time when it wasn't.
Yeah, neither can I.
They had to sit on a disc, and then that disc got dipped into some kind of red liquid.
Yep.
And then they got smacked into a clown's mouth? Uh-huh. Or some kind of person's cartoon big mouth? And there was powdered sugar getting sprayed at them, because this was like a carnival.
Yeah.
It was like a candy apple.
They were sitting above an apple.
Yeah.
Which is just a big balloon.
Yeah. So they're sitting on the disc, and they're there, and then they have to get off the disc and sit on the actual balloon.
Yeah.
Now, this means that they can't get dunked in that liquid anymore, though, because that balloon floats.
Yep.
So whenever this was the difficult bit about sitting on the disc was that you would get dipped into the liquid,
so
but
deep
the
balloon down.
So deep down, like you know, above yeah. your navel, and the balloon would stay up, and you would go down.
Yeah, and you would have to make sure you're still on the disc when you pop back up.
So it gives you a little bit of, I don't know, like, you don't know which way that balloon's yeah. going to go. Is it going to shake your disc? So that was slightly difficult.
Shake your disc.
Shake your disc. And then they had to get off the disc and get onto just the balloon. But obviously they couldn't be dipped into the water anymore.
Yeah.
There was powdered sugar.
Whipped cream strewn at them?
How many candy apples do you know of that have whipped cream and powdered sugar on them, though?
Yeah, that's more usually for your funnel cakes.
It's funnel cake.
Yeah.
It was a carnival
funnel cake.
You know what I hated?
Do you call it funnel cake or elephant ears?
Those are two different things, Alice.
Those are two different things.
But people interchange them.
I know, they're dumb.
No, they don't.
I call them funnel
cake. Morons.
A funnel cake is a funnel cake. An elephant ear is an elephant ear. There's no... completely different. An elephant ear is big and round and flat, you know, like an elephant's ear. Duh, people. And a funnel cake is a cake that is made by straining dough through
a
funnel.
I don't think I've ever had an elephant ear.
You've never had that? They're big, they're like disc-shaped, and they're fried really quickly, and they have cinnamon sugar on them.
Definitely not.
And they're crunchy, too. They fry them just enough to get crunchy.
Like hard crunchy, or just like donut crunchy?
A little bit harder than donut crunchy, but not like chip crunchy. You know, they're still doughy a little bit,
descriptive.
Too. They're really good.
Very descriptive.
It's like if you took a quick fried a tortilla, but only it's more of the same kind of dough as from a funnel cake. I think they use the same dough. It's just how you apply it is different.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had an elephant ear then.
Okay.
But people stupidly interchange the terms.
What do you mean it's like an egg?
Well, you can fry it, or you can... scramble it. It's still an egg.
You can
put totally different consistency.
To hot oil and make a little cake.
Now I just want funnel cake.
Yeah, funnel cake's good.
You know what I want?
I want to go to St. Mike's and see Maggie Speaks, and they have a funnel cake.
I want a waffle burger.
Ooh.
From Waffle Truck.
Yeah.
Anywho.
WAFL Waffle
Truck. I've had this insatiable hunger today.
She has.
I woke up and I had a bowl of cereal. While I worked, because that's all I do lately.
And then she woke me up, and I had to make her a pot of pasta.
You woke up on your own at, like, 10:30. I had been up since, like, 7:30, so give me a little credit. And I made you do dishes. And,
boo.
And then we made some pastaroni for lunch. And usually we don't eat a lot of pastaroni. And I bought it on a whim. And I was like, I love pastaroni. This reminds me of when I was younger. I want pastaroni. So we made pastaroni. But I could eat like a whole box and a half of pastaroni just
so it's
on
too
my
bad
own.
That she had to split a box with me.
So we ate pastaroni for lunch. But then I've also had pretzels, an apple, a whole green pepper.
Didn't break into your cantaloupe yet.
Didn't break into my cantaloupe yet. I have a cantaloupe. Cantaloupe and seedless watermelon, 2 for $3. So I got picked up a cantaloupe.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've hit just this, and I'm still hungry, but my mind is saying your stomach is full. You're not hungry. But the back of my throat is going, I want food. It's terrible. It's a terrible problem to have. Yeah, that was that episode.
Yeah.
Anything we missed in that?
Oh, I'll tell you one thing I hated about that competition.
Yeah.
Every time they slammed into the wall, it made this really gross, like, apple chomping noise every time. And every time I winced. I was just like, ugh, why do they keep doing that? It was horrible. It was horrible. Every time they hit the wall, like, right when they pulled them back, it made this chomp noise. And I was like... ah! Stop it!
Good for you.
Hey!
Your opinion
when
you, is noted.
When you say weird things, nobody stops in the show to stare you down, lady.
Well, I say weird things all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Now, we didn't see this part until the finale night show, but when they actually had the announcer, like, doing the voiceover of it as, like, a carnival barker, it was terrible.
It was creepy. It was, like, out of a horror show.
Yeah, it's like creep show.
Get killed. Get killed in the Big Brother house. This is really slashers. If you haven't listened to our episode of Scream Queens with the movie Slashers, you should listen to
it. Yeah, totally check that out.
Chainsaw Charlie comes out. All right. But no, I thought that was pretty weird, too. And I wasn't sure. Could they hear it?
No.
They must have.
No. No, they did not hear it. That was totally post-production.
Well, they must have heard some kind of voice, though, because they knew to get off of the discs and onto the Apple.
Oh, no. I mean, they give them instructions to do that.
But it wasn't a carnival barker.
It was not the carnival barker. It was Keith Lumen and whoever was producing that day.
Gotcha. So then we get into the finale night. And it's finale night, and Julie Chen is not dressed like it's finale night.
She looks nice, but that's
I thought Julie looked good.
That's just because this whole season she's looked like garbage.
Well, that's true. Our expectations are much lower now.
But this is finale night. I mean, she didn't have any, like, fancy hair. It was just kind of, like, pulled back. I mean, her makeup wasn't super fancy. Her dress wasn't fancy. Like, this is finale night. Girl, bust her out.
Julie Chen looks better when she underdoes it.
Your husband runs the network. Have him give some money for a dress.
But they both hated this season, so it's like, meh.
That's why she was wearing black. It was like a funeral.
I'm phoning it in.
Time to put this Big Brother
into the ground. 6 feet under. Get out of here. Conspiracy. We just started a conspiracy. So we have that. It's Vanessa, Liz, and Steve.
Yes.
They're in the final three. Well, we see the rest of the first part of the HOH competition. Steve drops first.
Yeah.
Pretty shortly after they had to get onto the Apple.
Yeah.
He drops first. It's down to Vanessa and Liz. They had like little popcorn carts and popcorn things in the backyard, and Steve was getting popcorn. And as that's going down, Vanessa's like, all right, I gotta work my words here. Come on, Liz, drop. You're safe. I'm taking you to final two. Just drop. I need this more than you do.
I can hang up here for an hour.
I'll be up here all day. You have a better chance at winning the second part than I do. Just do it, because I can do endurance, but I can't do physical. And
I can't do mental.
Yeah. Oh, bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, oh, but you have a much better chance, and then it could just be one of us, and we could take each other. We just got to get Steve out. Liz drops.
Yep.
Damn! That, Vanessa.
Yep.
She can sell ice to an Eskimo. So Vanessa wins part one. We see that happen.
Now, that was the second longest HOH, first part HOH since, like, season 8 with Dick being out there for over 8 hours.
Yeah, that was forever.
It was almost 4 hours. It was 3 days.
A little over four hours. It was a little over four.
Yeah. That's crazy, right? Yeah. For these people that have only been doing endurance things for like 15 minutes all season.
Exactly.
They've really pulled it out.
So then we get on to the second part of the HOA competition.
I love this.
I really like this for several reasons.
I did too.
I loved this. It was a great spin on features that we know, right? Because the past 5 seasons, it's been something where you have to go up and down some kind of wall, and it's something with memory, and it's timed, so that whoever does it the fastest will win. And usually, like, one time it was a beach thing, and you had to, like, put these
crabs. The order of people got eliminated. Yeah.
And I really hate the order they were eliminated things. Like, I don't like them.
Only
this one was
different. It's a little passé since they've done it so much.
Yeah. This one was different. It was a huge crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
So it took the you need to remember things, and it took the you have to scale something at that weird bungee cord thing, and doing it fast because you need to be the quickest one. I really liked it.
So good.
It was so good. Some of the answers were OTEV. The answer was OTEV dairy product.
Yep.
Ta-da! There was HOH, so you had to spell out head of household.
Yeah.
The one that seemed to hang Liz and Steve up, both of them, was happened twice this season. and it was Double Eviction. It was really, it was a really good time.
It was fun. It was cool.
Because you got to play along as well. Like, yeah, when you would see the clue, you'd be like, oh, it's butter. Or, you know, oh, H-O-H, they want you to spell it out of household. You know, that one's Shelly, they want you to go for Shelly.
Yeah.
You know? It was fun, you could play along, it was straightforward.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. What did you think, Mike?
What did you think, Mike?
No, I liked this one. It was a nice twist. It ended up being close.
Yes.
It did.
Yes. It was what, like 20 some minutes to 31 minutes?
28 minutes to 31.
28 minutes to 31 with Steve winning. But
Steve won.
There's the unseen part of the competition.
What's the unseen part?
Here's the problem with this is, actually, if Liz would have known Double Eviction, she would have won that pretty handily,
mm-hmm,
because actually production had to help her with that. She gave up on that competition. And once she was like past, once she was past Steve's time.
Yeah.
She was just sort of sitting there. It's like, I can't do this. I don't understand. I just give up. Well, of course they don't want you to give up.
That's not good TV.
On the second HOH competition.
Mm-hmm.
So they were giving her hints like, Liz, this happened when you were HOH. And then she finally put it together to get Double Eviction. But I'm assuming that they did it after Steve had already had a better time.
Right. Yeah.
And we only know this because actually Steve was pretty upset about it, because later that night Liz says, well, production had to give me some help with that last one.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a part of that conversation when Steve and Liz both said, I really had trouble with Double Eviction.
Yeah.
And Liz says, oh yeah, I did. But what you didn't see is, production had to help me with that one.
Oh. I
gave up. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea, and they had to give me a hint.
Hmm.
And Steve goes, they gave you a hint?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. If I was Steve, I would have, like, been burning the place down.
Well, but, I mean, he's already won.
Not that it matters. Yeah. Right, exactly. Not that it matters, but I would have been upset about it, too. Right? Because if they're doing it for this...
Exactly.
What else were they doing? It would have made me super paranoid. It would have made me Vanessa paranoid. But I don't get why you have the letters, because the letters are all on tiles, and they gave you a little satchel.
There was probably a lot of extra tiles, too.
It didn't look like it.
It didn't look like there were that many, because they were
they all laid flat on the ground.
Oh, really?
And they were looking at the V and the C as
same letters. Yeah, the same letters. Ooh, I almost fell, guys. Sorry.
Ooh.
I was trying to sit on my foot.
Why are you trying to sit on your foot? That's weird.
I always sit like this. I sit like this at the office 90% of the day.
Really?
And then my leg shakes, and my coworker Dan will come up and just pretending there's an earthquake because my leg is shaking so much. But yeah, they both had problems with the same word.
Yeah.
And at one point, Steve was like, I'm missing a letter. I'm missing a letter. I'm missing a letter. And then it was in his satchel the whole time, because they gave him these satchels to carry the tiles up and down. And he goes, oh, it was in my bag the whole time. I better not lose because I was dumb and I couldn't find it in my bag. But I really like this competition.
Very good.
Steve won it, so it's going to be Steve and Vanessa in the final.
The live final part three of the HOA challenge.
Yes, the live final part three. And, of course, they bring out the scales of justice.
Yes, which they did last year, too.
Lame.
And the year before.
And the
what? Oh, mm-hmm. I thought this was only the second time we saw it.
Lame. I get something new.
True.
Get something new. We should have it where if you get it wrong, you
time,
slowly get lowered
in
into
little,
water
like,
and
two
drown.
People booth.
What?
For a while, it was just people in a two-person booth.
Right.
Right.
So they've just totally take off the little booth, which was kind of lame too, and put them on this big scales of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Find a new theme. I like that idea of like something actually physically happening to them, depending on who's winning. But yeah, change it from the scales. We've had enough of that now.
I'm telling you,
they should have been like a water tank.
I just
said
that.
If you answer it wrong, you go under the water.
I just said that, and no one listened to me because Brian kept talking.
I heard it, and it's no, we can't put them underwater.
Play back the tape. I
said, why not?
I said
they've been underwater a lot of times.
Loser drowns.
They still need to be able to answer questions and not fight for their lives.
No, there was one where they had to get keys.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, they had to get keys through a maze.
That was freaky, right?
Yeah, they had to like undo locks and get
That was
keys.
A cool one. That was a part one HOH.
That was a dangerous one.
Yeah, they had to connect the HOHs
mm-hmm.
in order
mm-hmm.
underwater.
Yeah. And that creates, like, good. The maze to, like, get the key out to, like, get something. I don't know.
It was a cool one.
It was dangerous as it was.
Not as dangerous as forcing people underwater if they get questions wrong, Allison. And Mike. Big brother Mike.
You have to put another couple of marshmallows in your mouth if you get it wrong.
This is fluffy bunny.
And say chubby bunny.
Chubby bunny.
So... These are questions, and these...
Well, we've got to talk about the stuff that happened before that, though.
Do you want to talk about the Dr. Will stuff?
We got to talk about the Dr. Will before we get to the...
So Dr. Will, again, is back and talking to the jury members. So Dr. Will is in the backyard of...
Now, this should just be an every year occurrence.
Yes. And I think...
if you have to keep this crappy jury section at all,
mm-hmm.
instead of having a better... Going down to a final two instead of a final three, mm-hmm. and then actually having a jury Q&A for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to keep this format, then keep Dr. Will.
He's great. He is a great host. I think it could be its own episode. I would rather have a full hour of this
than the memory lane. Just give me more of that than memory lane.
That should have been on Sunday's episode.
It should have. Because, we could have got so much more. They were... For some reason, Austin is such a bitter boo. Why is Austin such a bitter boo about everything? Like, he was so angry and so, like, defensive and hostile about everything. And Johnny Max was like, screw you, Austin. It was, I don't know. There's people like Shelly and Becky and Johnny Mac and even Meg who were making valid points. And also just be like, no. It's like, petulant child.
When I hope it's Vanessa that comes in.
It better be Vanessa. Better be Vanessa. She's the worst. She did me wrong.
Scumbag.
And Dr. Will even brought up, well, would you have brought Vanessa? No. Oh, well, it's okay for you, but not for her. So that was pretty funny. But Dr. Will always asks good questions. This was actually quite an informed and well thought out jury.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen for a while.
It's very true.
I think they were all, well spoken. And they got what was going on. And a lot of them were like, you gotta hand it to Vanessa. She played a great game.
Yeah.
She got us all out. She got us all out.
So good job. Kicking everyone to the curb.
She got us all out. Anything else about the Dr. Will segment that we missed?
No, that was the major theme of it.
Yeah, that how awesome it was.
It was like, we gotta pay homage to the High Priestess Vanessa.
The thing with Dr. Will is for a couple of years there, he was starting to really look like a lady.
You got to that age where men started looking like your aunt.
No. He's still looking pretty translucent, though.
Yeah, well, it's because he's that dermatologist. He does too much skin stuff.
Yeah, he's like a ghost.
There was a time where he started looking like a lady, but now he doesn't look so much like a lady. He looks manlier now.
Like
he
when Dana Carvey started looking like a lesbian woman?
Yeah. he looked like a man.
Or like Bruce Jenner did before he transitioned to Caitlyn.
Right, when he got like the facelift and everything.
It was the dude looks like a lady kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is when Joel McHale started making all those jokes on the soup that ended up becoming true.
True. So he was there. There were a lot of people in the audience. The live audience.
Yes.
There was Jesse.
Yep.
And Frankie. And Brendan and Rachel. Uh-huh. And
Jeff and Jordan.
And
I
Dr.
think
Will.
We saw. I think that was Danielle, but I could be wrong.
Danielle, who is most famous for getting backstabbed by Dan and having her jaw just hit the floor.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was her, though.
That and Frankie Grandi's heartbreaking last year.
When he didn't get America's Favorite.
Yeah.
I loved that. That was great.
But you have to admit.
And Jerry falling in the pool.
Jerry falling in the pool. It will always be a classic.
Yeah, because he didn't hurt himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's why I didn't
funny
say.
If you don't hurt yourself.
That's why I didn't say Meg face planning herself, because I think she was kind of sore for a little while.
Yeah, poor Meg. Poor uncoordinated Meg.
As much as I dislike Frankie, and I've checked out his Twitter a little bit, this whole who wants to shine bright like a Frankie.
Yeah.
He sells t-shirts that say, shine bright like a me.
Okay. That doesn't make sense either.
Nope. No. And there are so many pictures of him just, like, covered in glitter. I'm not even exaggerating, like, caked.
Oh, I bet.
In glitter. Caked. And I don't know, he's terrible. I hate him. He's terrible.
But I've got to say, Frankie Grande is a much better actor than his sister, because she was terrible in Scream Queens.
Womp womp. The other thing about Frankie, though, is no matter what, no matter what you think about him, no matter how you feel about him in a Big Brother aspect.
Yeah.
No matter how dumb you think he is, he goes down in the Big Brother history books as being the only guy to win a team competition on his own.
That's true.
That's it. I mean, hands down.
Yep.
That was good TV. You have to give him that.
I do.
That was good frickin' TV. What else are we talking about?
Do we want to go on to the Scales of Justice now that we talked about the Dr. Will?
Scales of Justice. So this is, they ask the jury members questions of how they would answer a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two remaining house guests in the HOH competition have to guess A or B, which answer. Yeah. I did very poorly at this one.
Yeah.
No, I actually did well this year.
You did okay. You think you did a lot worse than you did, because when you missed them, you're like, oh, that should have been obvious. But the problem was, and you pointed this out, Allison, whoever was writing the alternate answers this year did such a great job.
Yeah, it really could have went either way for both answers. You could see the person saying either thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite difficult, because usually there's one like, oh, this one's obvious.
Yeah, no one would ever say
there
that.
There was never one that was like, oh,
the Becky one. The Becky one, obviously.
Well, that's just because we know.
Yeah.
We know she really got hit by a train.
Oh, no, she's told that story a number of times in the house.
That could be a lie, though. I could say I met the president yesterday.
Well, that's true.
But then she points out to why her face is like it is because of the train, and she's very proud of
and
the fact.
And my nose is the way it is because I was in a bar fight and it got broken. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter. You could say whatever.
She said it too many times and was always consistent with the story that...
I'm going to make
I don't know.
Up
I just don't like the crapshoot kind of competition at the end.
You think it should be more skill or memory?
I think it should be, a little bit more days or not so much what you think a house guest might say, because you don't know. I mean, okay, Shelley's, which was better, meeting Clay or winning HOH? Okay, I don't know. You flip a coin on that one. And I don't like those sort of things. I sort of like it where it's got a little bit of skill and knowledge or, you know, what was the name of James's girl? You know, something where you know that you've developed a relationship. You've learned something about the other house guests that's more quantifiable. Mm-hmm. Because you can go through this game and really have no social, you know, very little social interaction. And that's really what Steve did as far as Meg and James and Becky went.
Mm-hmm.
Really didn't know a whole lot about them because he wasn't interacting with that side of the house at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if there were personal questions about them, about their lives or anything like that, he would have a problem with that. But the only thing is that if you know, and here's the only pro for it being sort of like a crapshoot competition, is it forces the guests, the three guests inside the house, to continue to work on each other.
Sure.
Because Vanessa could have easily won that, as Steve did.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you haven't campaigned with the other two people in the house, if you just sat there like a slug for a week, wanting to win that final, you know, banking on winning that final HOH, you know.
Yeah.
But at least that gives, number one, it gives people on the feeds a little something to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, it continues on with the strategic nature of the game all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why they went with three people at the end instead of two with the outside jury votes. You know, because then you just pretty much, okay, you plead to the jury. Now you sit in the house for 4 days until finale night, and that's it. You're legitimately just sitting there, and all you have to do is prepare your final two speech.
Mm-hmm.
But by then, you've already had your 2-hour interview with the jury.
Mm-hmm.
It's more in depth. Everybody gets like three questions and they fight with each other and it's, you know, less monitored. And, you know, at that point, minds are made up. You're not going to sway anybody with your last minute speech.
Right. Right.
So for production value of the game, I can see why they're doing that, because they have to have other things to show too.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it, you know, Vanessa works hard all year long, works for 97 days on strategy and covering her ass and moving forward and knowing what her position is in the game, to lose on, what is Shelley like better, HOH or Clay?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I absolutely hear you. And Vanessa does go out.
Yeah.
She
does. Goes out quickly.
Yeah, she goes out quickly. So she doesn't win HOH. Steve does.
Yep.
Steve very smartly takes Liz.
Yes.
Liz is actually shocked. She's like, oh my God, Steve, wasn't expecting this. Oh my God, I need the money so much. There was a moment where she was saying that, where production cut the house mic because that's what they're supposed to do, but her going on and on was so great that they're like, no, put the mic back on. You could tell someone in production was like, put her mic back on.
Why did you cut that? Hit that back.
Steve, why did you do that? I have nothing prepared. It was great.
Ugh.
But Steve evicting Vanessa was amazing because he was very emotional.
He belabored it a little bit.
He was like, I hate to do to you what you did to Austin, but you taught me I have to play the game for me. I have to make the big moves. I got to win. I have to take you out to do that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And Vanessa left. And Vanessa's interview with Julie Chen wasn't, it wasn't long because, you know, we have a lot still to do. But there was a moment where Julie Chen says, you've been in the house for 97 days and now you're here. You know, and you almost see, because Vanessa was keeping on a cold front.
Yeah.
You know, she was trying to play it cool, like, oh, no, it's fine, it happens, just like everything else, it happens, you know. Dice could have won either way. And there's that moment where you see it on her face where where it finally sinks in of, I've been strategizing for 97 days and I'm going home with nothing.
And
absolutely
I lost.
Nothing. Like, you see that moment where it hits her.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's great television. They bring out all the rest of the jury members, and Julie Chen's like, who do you want to see here? And Austin's like, Vanessa! So Vanessa comes out.
I thought it was going to be that guy in the background.
Because what was going on with that? Who was that?
I have no idea, but it's like, and I thought she was going to come out that way. It's like, why are they bringing her out from the back?
Because that's just a small, like, hair and makeup area. That's all that is.
Right. I thought that was just, like, a handler there.
Yeah.
And they were just going to say, okay, Vanessa, go now.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, and they'd bring out Vanessa. And you see this guy go, oh, shit.
Yeah. He kept putting his head out, too. You see him several times. It's like, just get him out of there. The production value on this finale was awful.
Low. Super low.
So low. You see the guy in the background. That was great. Vanessa comes out, and now it's time for the house guests to ask their questions.
Yeah.
The same question got asked twice in different ways, because I hate this section.
The Liz question?
The Liz and Steve question, yeah.
No, the question to Liz was the same question twice.
No, it was the very first question. It was, why do you think you deserve this? You've been a floater.
Yeah.
And then the question to Liz was, why do you think you deserve this? You've just tailed it from Austin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's the same question.
Yeah.
Right behind each other.
I was glad that they didn't make Vanessa read some pre-prepared questions.
They didn't. That was different this year.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
That was different this year. Right after Steve, so they ask Steve a question, and Steve starts to answer, and us at home can hear him.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, Julie Chen, Steve, stop. We're having audio issues. Stop. Okay, Steve, now go. And he starts up again, and da-da-da-da-da. Steve's answers are so meticulous. I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and then, and then I set this here, and I did that here. Oh, Steve, hold on. We're still having audio issues. We can't hear you here in the studio, so we're assuming they can't hear you at home. Nope.
Oh, we can't.
Everybody at home is like, yes, we can.
We can totally hear you. And then they make Steve start for a third time, And
you know, and I actually thought that was probably worked out best for Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was just so fired up.
Yeah.
I think that he would not have given a good delivery because he didn't start the third one. He didn't start it the same way he started the first two. And I really wasn't digging where he was going on the first two.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, stop the first time. And then stop the second time. It's like, okay, take a breather.
Yeah. And they made him say 3, 2, 1 to make sure they could hear him.
Yeah.
Ugh. He needed that breather.
And then it gave him time to focus a little bit. It got all the anxiety of having to stand up and go through his head. So I think it actually helped him.
At one point, though, he pretty much dissed a couple people in the house because he was well, I had to get this person out who was obviously the strongest competitor.
Well, you had to get Jackie out because...
I had to get Jackie out because I didn't want to go against Scamper Squad, and Jackie was the best competitor out of the four of you. Or he said something to that effect.
Better than James and Meg.
It was so... I'm like, whoa, maybe you don't want to be...
insulting people.
Yeah. But other than that, Liz's answers were typical Liz... She really had nothing to go on.
Well, she had nothing. I mean, what is it? You know, I came in with a disadvantage because I had a twin, and then you guys found out about the twin, so we had to, air quotes, fight to stay in the house.
Yeah.
And then we had a big target on our back because of the showmans, and then we just went along with Vanessa until she got rid of Julia and Austin. And now I'm here and you gotta give me $50,000.
And Steve took me cause he can beat me. Thank you. Yeah. But what was interesting though is Steve made a comment saying, I fought to be in this house the entire time since day one. Liz for the first couple weeks was only fighting half the time.
Yeah.
You sit in a hotel for 3 weeks. That was a great
moment. That was great.
It was a great moment. Yeah. And I'm pretty, so Steve, of course, he's all amped up towards the end of it. He's like, Scamper Squad this, blah, 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 blah. I did this, I did that. I aligned with these people, I let Vanessa do this, and
guess what? I got out Jackie, not because of bad information.
But then at the end, his thing was, I got out Vanessa.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, the answers were what they were, good, bad, and ugly. But as soon as it was over, if you noticed, as soon as they got, like, the clear in the house, so we could still see in the house because the picture always is on the stage monitor. Yeah, the TV behind Julie Chen. And you see Steve immediately get up and go towards the bathroom. I'm pretty sure he puked. So I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that. Because I'm pretty sure he puked. We get to the votes. The jury is voting. Some of them are very obvious. At one point, I thought Julie was going to be like, please don't reveal who you're voting for in your answers. Because at one time, I forget who it was, but they said, I'm going to give this to the person who's wanted this all their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Liz is like, I haven't wanted this. It was obvious that was a vote for Steve. So I thought you were going to get a little Julie being like, please don't reveal anything in your speeches.
I guess it's kind of hard for her to do that with anyone else because you know who Julia's vote is for. So it's like, Julia, don't even say anything.
Yeah.
Just say good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
Take the key out of the bag and stick it in.
I thought it would have been great if Julia just went, duh. What I also thought was weird is the box that they put the keys in was slightly different this year. And
the ridge wasn't as high.
The ridge to hide the names on the keys wasn't as high. They really needed to wrap it in their hand. Really, like, you could almost see.
The upshot is they were so foily this year that you could barely read them when Julie was pulling.
Yeah, when Julie was revealing them, it was like, which one did that say? Yeah.
But if you notice, they really had to grasp it in their hand and, like, put it in there and hold their hand over it. In years past, that ridge at the front to block it
is... the shield has been higher.
Yeah, is a lot higher. So get on that. Get on those two things. Make the ridge higher again and make them less foily. Make them less reflective. So the votes are in.
Uh-huh.
They don't go to immediately.
But then I had no idea who... Well, I think I had a good idea of who Vanessa voted for. When she says, I'm voting for the player who best represented the house this season, it's like, oh, okay.
Steve.
I thought there was going to be some sour grapes there, but no. It's like, okay, she got played, but she played all season, and you didn't win that last one. And then you didn't work on him in the house in the past week, so.
Yeah. But yeah. I thought her vote was for Steve.
She has an excuse for why she said that. But she has a reason for why she said that and why she still voted for Liz. And we can get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. But we get to the 5 seconds of having the house guests that didn't go to jury.
Yeah.
They basically talk to Audrey for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
About being transgender.
They let Jason be Jason and Dave be Dave, which was great.
Yeah.
It was funny how Dave Vaughn beat up on Austin with his hat.
Yeah. What so is basically, going on with Judas?
Judas just Austin with the top hat.
And Austin's like, yeah, you got me.
Yeah, I guess I got nothing back.
He's still being bitter grapes, though. He's such a bitter boo.
He's kind of being funny. Like, I think Austin in this last episode was the Austin I wanted the entire...
Bitter?
No, not bitter. Being like, kind of funny, like when she called him out, they're like, so basically it's just Austin with top hat. And he's like, yeah. Like...
Well, but he's got nothing to be bitter against Davon about. They got her out real early.
Exactly. So.
I still don't think he's talking to Vanessa.
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
So, and then, so that was that. Jason's thing was really funny when Jason said, you know, the only thing that was wrong with you, Vanessa, was that you were playing all these things and you didn't want anybody to know you were playing. You just should have told everybody you were playing. You didn't want any blood on your hands. You should have been screaming, I'm bathing in your blood.
Like, at least in the DR, yeah.
You crazy scowowow.
You crazy scowowow. But I like that.
And that made Vanessa break out of her bitter face.
Yeah.
Her sad face.
And then, guys, we get the big reveal that Vanessa's not a lawyer or a DJ.
Uh-oh.
She's a poker player.
And she's got $4.5 million.
So, but what the thing with Vanessa is, much like me, she talks very fast and kind of truncated when she gets nervous and worked up. And so she was like, okay, guys, here's my Vanessa impression. Okay, guys, well, let me tell you, I am a DJ, but it's only kind of this part-time side gig thing. I'm not a lawyer, but I do have about $4.5 million in winnings. I'm actually a professional poker player. So with $4 million lifetime winnings.
So guess what? It would have been a much funner reveal for the house if you never said that you were a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
That's instantly going to make people be like, I'm glad you didn't win.
Well, she's probably barely a millionaire after taxes.
Well, no, she's got a lot of endorsement deals. That's where her money came
from. Oh, she has endorsement deals and something?
GoDaddy and like a lot, yeah.
I guess you were telling me, Brian, that she is like the person who has gone through that college's game theory thing the fastest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's gone through that
fastest
the fastest.
In history.
She's one of like the highest ranked like female poker players in the U.S.
She's still one of, outside of just being a female poker player, she's a well-ranked poker player in general, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you have that, but I think she says it so fast and truncated that people don't really pay attention.
People are also focusing more on the, how, because she said $4.5 million first before poker player.
Mm-hmm.
So people are focusing on that, oh, you're a millionaire, not so much you're a poker player, which is much more interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's how she got where she did in the game.
But she had to make the same mistake I would have made. She had to big dick it. She had to not only say it, but she needed to, like, put it out on the table and, like, have it.
Yeah, she had to put
there.
It first and then say it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because it's like, not only am I a poker player, I've made X amount of
the
dollars.
The reveal is,
I'm better than you.
I'm a poker player. The second reveal is, I'm a very good poker player. And you say, you're like a top-ranked national player. You don't ever need to say how many millions of dollars you've won.
I would have made that mistake because I love money. The more I
it would have been much better if she would have gone to the final two.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had some sort of segment after the votes were revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, got a big secret to tell you guys, everybody. I had to keep it a secret the entire season, but you know, I'm a professional poker player and I've made over $4.5 million, so this $500,000, this is just summer fun money for me. But thanks a lot. I really love playing with you, I love all you guys.
Thanks for the toilet paper, assholes.
Yeah.
yeah. I thought that it fell a little flat, and then they immediately just cut away from it, and it's just kind of like, okay.
There's nobody on the jury. They're like, oh, okay, whatever, millionaire, shut up.
Yeah, it really didn't add anything to the game.
No.
And it's like, well, we're still all, you're just the first loser.
Yeah.
And we're the next 8 placed losers, so it doesn't really matter. You're getting the same stipend I did.
Yeah.
You would have played hard, and Shelly's been sitting in the jury house for 4 weeks.
Yeah, who's smarter in the end, James or Vanessa?
We get to the votes.
Yes.
And the votes...
We start with the last vote first.
Yeah, Julie was like, I'm going to start at the end first. I'm not going to start at the beginning, I'm going to start at the end. And of course, that is the... She knew for a fact those were going to be Liz votes.
Yeah, just because you had Austin. No matter what Vanessa did, you had Austin and Julia right after.
So, you know, they put those two very strategically so she could start at one end.
Oh my God, it's 3-1 in favor of Liz. Did she win?
No, Steve wins, and Steve just about vomits into his hands.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, and he runs on out. And you know what, camera guy, director man, Jim Tanker, you need to fail your switchboard person, because you have one fucking job on finale night, and that's to catch Steve coming out the door when the confetti goes off in that front-facing camera, and you didn't get it. You're fired. You were a couple of seconds late.
I don't care
late.
If Steve was running. You are on that. That
you have
your
one
job.
You have one job finale night, and it's to get that moment.
Get that shot.
Yeah, because you actually heard the confetti go off with the camera still in the house.
Yeah, on Liz.
Yeah. Instantly, it's all hugs and kisses, and he doesn't get his mom right away, which I thought was weird. I would have just had his mom up on the stage. But what's really the interesting bit of this end piece here is really the saga of Bitter Boo Austin, because he's in the back, he's hanging towards, you know, and then, of course, everybody starts hugging, and it's, we haven't seen each other for 5 seconds, guys, let's all hug. And Austin's just kind of in the back. He's talking to Julie Chen. He gets snubbed by Steve at one point. I don't think on purpose.
No,
He doesn't want to meet, like, Liz and Julia's mom and
Yeah,
dad.
No. Like, and you would think they would be, like, all over each other. Like, blah, 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 blah. Especially because she just won all this money. Oh, man, you just got 10 times more attractive. Oh, no. But no. He's hanging in the back. He's talking to Julie Chen. He really doesn't want anything to do with it. We come back from break, and we are going to get America's favorite player.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, Johnny Mac. Something for Johnny. Give me something for Johnny. And they give you our top three, and unsurprisingly, it's Johnny Mac, James, and Jason.
Jason was a little surprising, only because he left so early, but he was very well liked.
Very well liked. Those were the three.
Yeah.
I would probably say Meg was probably fourth if I had to pick.
I can see that.
If we kept going, I would say Meg four, you know, towards the bottom it would be Vanessa and, like, Clay and Shelly. And Jackie and Jeff. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm like, yes, Johnny Mac. It goes to James. Now, I get it. James was fun to watch. Johnny Mac was so much better.
Yeah. I don't know. People just like James. And I mean, I get it. I wasn't upset. It wasn't one of those where, like, you liked him? You guys are fools. I just personally liked Johnny Mac a little bit better than James. So that's why I personally thought, oh, Max got in the bag.
It's definitely not a dislike of any of those three. It's I like more one than the other.
Yeah.
But what did you think? Did you think James was going to get it, Big Brother Mike, or what?
I thought, it was going to be between James and Johnny Mac. It's fine.
This is the second year in a row we went, well, obviously it's going to be this person, and this is our favorite, and therefore this person's going to win, and this is the second year in a row that we're wrong. Because who were we so sure? We were so sure it was going to be Zach last year.
You thought it
so
was going to be Zach. Yeah. I thought it was going to be Donnie.
So sure it was going to be Zach. It's going to be Zach, guys. It's going to be Zach. You're crazy. It's not going to be Donnie. People down there, they don't even have computers to vote. But it was Donnie.
It's Donnie.
So, and again, it wasn't a matter that I didn't like. It wasn't that I did not like Donnie. It was that I liked Zach better.
No, I thought Donnie was. You were hardcore. Like, Zach's got it.
I wanted Johnny Mac to get it.
I thought Mac was going to get it, too. But it happens as it happens.
There have been so many articles in Entertainment Weekly, What Culture, BuzzFeed, about Johnny Mac.
Oh, really?
No matter what America's favorite player turned out being in the money thing, he is going to be
He's the internet darling.
He is the internet darling. I love the internet darlings.
He is the community of Big Brother contestants. Community, huge online thing. That show could barely stay on the air.
You know who else was an internet darling?
Who?
CM Punk.
See? Now he's
huge. He was an internet darling. But I love internet darlings. And there was an article about the praying mantis that he befriended in the backyard. there was an article of the 25 reasons we love Johnny Mac. There were articles of, like, analyzing his insanity. It was so interesting. Yeah. You didn't see articles, the 25 best things about James.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, but I think Johnny Mac, you're going to see Johnny Mac again. He's going to be the one they bring back. But of course, we said that about Donnie and Zach too, and we didn't see any of them back this year.
Yeah.
We saw Caleb.
Yeah. Well, after you get knocked into a pool by an evil dick, no one wants to touch you. That happened to Zach.
What? When did that happen to Zach?
It was, Zach wanted to do, actually, Zach didn't get knocked in the pool, his camera did. He was trying to do some, like, live, like, Periscope thing at a Big Brother party, and started going up and talking to Dick, who him and Dick don't get along from the few times he's been on Dick's podcast, and, he basically took the camera out of his hand and threw it.
Classic Dick. Classic Dick. I know we talk about Evil Dick quite a bit, and he's a very polarizing character.
Yeah, I think because we liked him on the show, and then when we met him, he was really, really nice to us.
Well, we were like the normal fans.
That's true.
He was like, "I'm gonna hang out with you guys because this one chick keeps grabbing my crotch."
Yeah, he would use us to get away from freaky people.
Yeah, but I thought it was gonna be Johnny Mac, and then the saga of Bitter Boo Austin continues.
This was maybe my favorite Austin moment of the entire series.
It's been gift all over the internet. That Julie Chen says, if you want to try out for Big Brother, and in the background you just see Austin go, no.
Wide-eyed.
And shake his head.
Shaking his head, nodding the word no. It was great.
It was so great. It was great. Awesome. So if he thought he was going to be on Bold and the Beautiful, he kind of ruined any chance there. Because Les Moonves is going to make that call.
Yeah.
And nope. But I hope we see Johnny Mac in some, I hope we see him back for a competition, or, you know, doing something with Big Brother next season, doing a POV or something. I think that would be really, really cool because he's so fun.
Now you get a reason to go down to Reality Rally.
Is he going to be there this year?
Probably.
Maybe. Johnny Mac.
We'll have to pay attention.
We always have a standing invitation to Reality Rally every year.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, we haven't been able to go in a few years, though.
Yeah, it's too bad, but it's a good time.
We haven't been able to go since it was like Reagan season.
So, well, the first time we went. Mm-hmm. Yeah, first.
It's a great cause rally. Though. RealityRally.com. Yep. Check them out.
Yeah, super cool.
But that's it. That closes the book on chapter 17 of
the Big Brother.
Big Brother
Legacy. Do we want to talk about why Vanessa voted for Liz?
Why did Vanessa vote for Liz?
You know how she said best represented the game.
Yes.
She says that she thinks Liz did more coming into the game not knowing the game than Steve came in knowing the game so well did. Huh. She expected more from Steve.
Yeah, there was greater expectations that weren't lived up to.
That's why I play dumb all the time. People expect very little of me.
And then, in fact, in the when Jeff Schroeder was supposed to be interviewing them, Austin Vanessa just started arguing amongst each other while Jeff was approaching them, to the point where he just holds out the mic towards them and is like looking at the camera like some kind of like tabloid reporter, like getting some like weird breaking news.
What were they arguing about?
About Big Brother bullshit. Yeah, so yeah, Bitter Boo, both of them for that. You're fighting at the damn after party and you both lost.
Yeah.
You both, no.
You both get nothing.
Yeah. So why fight now? Now's the time to like start.
Where was this during the
enjoying
season?
Enjoying yourselves.
But we all agree that if Steve would have chosen Vanessa, she would have won.
Absolutely.
Oh yes, and part of me says Vanessa should have won
because Shelley would have given it to Vanessa.
Yeah.
Jackie would have given it to Vanessa. Meg would have given it to Vanessa.
Jackie's the only one where I don't know who she would have given it to. She had bitter Vanessa. And she really liked how Steve was playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Vanessa talk Steve into taking her to the final two so it actually sticks?
Oh my gosh, I don't think
she could actually.
Nope, there's only one thing, and it was something I heard on one of Vanessa's post-finale interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Is that she was contemplating telling Steve that she was worth $4.5 million, and she was a poker player, and she was banking that he would think that the jury would never give the money to someone who already had money, even though she was the best player, and she thought that that would be a reason why Steve should take her, but she never played that card.
But how could that be? How could you, if she told Steve that...
Steve could use it as part of his...
speeches, I guess?
Yeah. Yes. But that's the risk you take.
Yeah.
You have to tell him that, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm worth $4.5 million. I'm a professional poker player, and I don't need this money. So if you take, if you use that against me in your final speech, you have a good chance of winning if you take me. If you don't, there's already 3 votes against you if you take Liz. Mm-hmm. They only have to flip 2 votes, and you don't know, and you don't have a good social bond with those people, where Liz may have a better social bond with James and, with James and Meg.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real good chance that you're going to lose 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
Take me with you, and if they just hate me because I got rid of, you know, I had a hand in getting rid of most of them, and I'm worth a lot of money, you got a really much better chance of winning against me than against Liz.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only way that she could have gotten Steve, I think, to take her to the final two.
But I don't think that would have resulted in necessarily a win for her, though.
No, it wouldn't have been.
Because
I don't know.
Because if I was a jury member and I was like, hey, you find out that you're a little bit older, you're worth a shit ton of money, you lied to me, and you got me out of the house, that may sway me to vote for Steve.
No, I understand that, but instead of coming in third and getting no money,
at least you get $50,000.
The worst you do is come in second, and you've got a chance to use your little manipulative web of lies and deceit and game theory to try to sway a couple of votes.
If anyone could do it, it would be Vanessa. So
now everybody's talking, you know, before the finale night as well is Vanessa the greatest female player the game's ever had?
I would say yes.
Oh, I would say yes. I think
she's... I say definitely not. If you don't win, you're not even considered.
but that's harsh, though. So you're saying that Erica girl who was blowing Mike Boogie during All-Stars was a better player of Big Brother than Vanessa?
Yes.
You were saying that Memphis is a better Big Brother player than
Memphis. Memphis is a boy.
Oh, female. But he's still saying that. He's still saying that Memphis is better than...
I'm saying if you don't win, if you don't get to be in the top echelons unless you win. You could be mid-tier.
I think you're crazy. I think Vanessa is the... I think she's better than Janelle.
I agree. She's better than Janelle.
But
Janelle liked people better. More people liked Janelle.
True.
More people hated Amanda. I liked Amanda.
Yeah.
And she played a really good game.
So who is the best player? June?
June?
June
is the one I hear people say all the time, yeah.
That was like season like 2 or 3, right? Yeah.
Or Maggie in season 5. I'll give it to Rachel. I'll give it to Rachel Riley for winning. And she won.
Do you think that Jordan is a better player than Vanessa?
Yes, because
what?
Yes.
She can't tell time.
Jordan won the game. It doesn't matter how you get there, you won the game.
By chance. Absolute chance. I don't know. I think
she's a very good player. She's very strategic.
Could argue that.
She had a terrible social game.
Yes.
Okay. She had terrible social game. She made errors in the game.
Yes.
But she had enough control of the house at the right times. She was able to steer out of danger when the power was on the other side of the house. She played a good game. She didn't own, plus she didn't own her game. It'd be different if we saw her own her game.
Very true.
She actually thought that she was empathetic to all these people and that she seriously felt bad for them and that they, you know, that there was some sort of emotional connection between them. We never saw that. All we saw was crocodile tears, you know, and gameplay.
What Jordan? Are we talking about Jordan or Vanessa?
Vanessa.
We're talking about Vanessa.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Jordan. I'm like, who are, which, what? No, Jordan got by on being a sweet little Southern belle.
Yes, she did.
There's a lot of different ways to
Again,
get.
Again, she's a pretty girl getting by on being pretty and sweet. My least favorite type of basic bitch. I probably used basic bitch really wrong right there. I think Vanessa is probably the best Big Brother player.
I think Danielle Reyes is a better player.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
That was a harder game then.
Vanessa is right up there with Dan in my book.
Giesling?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because Dan could talk his way out of anything. And so almost could Vanessa. I don't think there is any.
Except she couldn't have, she couldn't play a social game when the only thing she had left was the social game.
Yeah.
She couldn't convince wishy-washy Steve, who couldn't pull the trigger the entire year. That's what the season was. The season was a season of the holstered pistol. Paranoia and the holstered pistol. There were so many times as fans, we just wanted to see somebody take the big move, and everybody played for safety. Everybody played for position. Even the people who didn't know how to play the game knew enough to play for safety and position. And that's all it was. It was just a chess match the whole season, trading pawns and rooks until you got to the edge. And finally, someone had to make a move. So it was either going to be Steve getting rid of Vanessa or Vanessa getting rid of Steve. And that's all we were waiting for the entire season.
True.
And it took 98 days to finally get there. But other than that, there was nothing that happened.
No, I see your point now. And I think that you may be right on a few of those points. I do think that her biggest flaw was the social game and but if you want to talk about strategy, I mean, she got it.
Yeah.
The only thing she couldn't do was control that weird paranoia and temper she had.
Yep.
If she had that under control, it'd be a different game.
That's true.
You know, and I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's got their fatal flaw and that's hers. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're right. Maybe she isn't the best player, female player of all time.
She was the most deserving player to win this year.
Yes.
And
yes.
She missed it by a flip of the coin question.
Mm-hmm.
But that happens.
Yeah, I think she is going to go down as the one who deserves to win the most.
I mean, look what happened last year. Cody won that final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he could have easily taken Victoria, and he would have won.
Very true.
Hands down.
Right. He wasn't as smart as Steve.
And then wouldn't you have said that was the worst final two?
Yes.
No, yeah.
The most undeserving final two. Yeah.
Steve was playing the game.
But nobody says if it's Derek and Cody going to the final two that it was the least deserving of the final two.
Mm.
It was just the stupidest final two move.
Yes, it definitely was. No, maybe you're right, but I do think strategy-wise and talking-wise.
I just wanted her to share it with us. That's what the DR is for. And for people who only see it on, you know, on the CBS television shows, you lose that. So you never made a bond with the audience. No one liked you. You were just a whiny little baby that was a bully. Because it's weird because we talk about this. We read stuff. We're watching the live feeds. If you just, One year, I think I just like to watch nothing but the live shows and not know anything, just the shows on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of go back and watch the season live at my leisure and see if I have the same thoughts. I'm thinking people that were just watching her on the CBS network show is like not a very likable person.
No, she didn't come across as that at all.
No, I mean, we only watch the CBS stuff and we find out things from you on this show.
Yeah.
But before we know that, we talk about it, you know, just at home and it really didn't flip for us for Vanessa until it was the final three where we were like, well, I guess I want her to win now because at least she played the game.
Yeah, she played hard. Yeah.
But if she were to do a little reveal in the diary room, let us know what she's thinking. then we can get on our side. A lot of people like villains. Yeah. If you want to get on the side of the villain, you know,
I love the anti-hero.
You either loved or hated Amanda,
mm-hmm.
but Amanda was good TV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think anyone's sitting there watching Vanessa going, "Oh, she's a great strategist."
No, she was a great bad guy. She was a great heel. She was a great heel. You cannot have Batman without the Joker.
True. Yeah, but you got to know that the Joker is Joker.
Yes.
And she was being false on the show. Mm-hmm. It just made it sound like she's, "Oh man, nobody understands me. I'm not a bully. I'm looking out for your best game, Julia." Yeah. Take Austin. Pick Austin for the POV.
Yeah, we needed a little DR moment of ha-cha-cha.
Yeah,
anything.
Well, and that's kind of the flip side for Johnny Mac. I read an article where someone said that they were surprised that Johnny Mac was in the running for America's Favorite, someone who was in the house for a very long time.
Oh,
they were
wow.
like, I was surprised that Johnny Mac was in the running for America's Favorite because
oh,
in
man.
The house,
guess he was super boring,
he was
right?
very quiet. He was very, very quiet. But they would walk past the diary room and they would hear him hooting and hollering and doing everything he did. So they were like, I really want to see his DRs because evidently America loved him based on his DRs because in the house, and even when we were watching Big Brother After Dark, and they were doing, like, their cooking thing, or he was just kind of there.
Yeah.
You know, but he had his golden moments in the DR, and he had some moments in the backyard and stuff, but for the most part, day-to-day, he was quiet.
Yeah.
So it's the flip side for Johnny Mac, where he wasn't that strategist in the game, but he had the DR. Right? Vanessa was
like,
the strategist in the game and not the DR.
And that's why we like good TV.
Yes.
And Austin was just like the false prophet.
he thought he was going to be fun.
He thought he was going to come in, he was going to do this Judas, he was going to be this, you know.
He was going to be the next evil dick.
Yeah, it's going to be something, or it's going to be like, you know, Dr. Will or Boogie in the diary room, something where, I'm going to reveal my secret, you know, diabolical plans in the diary room.
Uh-huh.
He had nothing.
He had nothing.
I mean, I wish Jason would have lasted longer because as we would have got further down in the game, I'm sure his DRs would have been fabulous.
They're great.
Oh, yeah.
They're so great. And at first, I thought I was going to hate Jason because I started watching, like, Big Brother After Darks and stuff, and I was just like, oh, this is so much. It's too overstimulating because that's really how he is all the time.
Yeah.
It's not where it's a, oh, he's quiet in the house and big in the DR. He's just big all the time. So it was a little overwhelming at first, especially when there were a lot of girls in there and they were kind of like having their little clique. They had their little clique, right? Oh my gods. And you know, that was terrible. I shouldn't be like, oh my god. But you know what I mean? Like they had their little clique and it was fun and loud and boisterous and you know, it was too much, but I did miss
once
it once
it
was gone. Yeah.
And I did like, hates Frankie Grande.
He hates Frankie Grande.
Did you see the picture that Frankie put up on Instagram of him and Jason?
No.
And like Frankie's all making like a little duck face and stuff, and Jason is just scowling in the back of it.
I'm sorry, but
it was the greatest.
I'm going to say this, and people can fucking tweet me if they hate it. You know, hashtag Frankie Grande in this podcast because I knew no one would find it. I think he is a terrible representation of not only celebrity siblings, but the gay community. I think he is a terrible symbol for what that is. And
as a white straight male, I cannot judge any of this.
I mean,
I'd rather hang out.
Female.
I would rather hang out with Jason for 10 minutes than Frankie Grande for a second.
Because, I think Frankie just has this weird, entitled, he's terrible. He's a terrible human being. And nobody likes him. And I want him to realize nobody likes him. And I just want him to cry at night. Where Jason, I just want to, like, get in my onesie pajamas with him. And
I just love his accent. He was going to be our narrator all season.
Yes.
Yes.
Because he would tell all the other house guests about, you know, other things that happen on different seasons or in Canada and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was doing it in such a non-braggadocious sort of way. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, might have talked to – I mean, he was always talking game. He's always talking about the game.
Yeah.
It was just like – it was entertaining. You need something to be entertaining. But he would have been the great narrator for Inside the House.
Absolutely.
For us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, and his accent was cute, and he's so short and adorable. I just want to keep him in my pocket for running commentary of my day.
I'd love it if they had a Second Chances season. I would definitely want to,
yes,
to have Jason back.
Jason and Jody, for sure.
Jody? Oh.
She got kicked out after a day. That woman deserves a second chance more than anybody else.
Okay, if we were
a day.
Shh, calm down. If we, right now, we're going to cast our perfect redemption second chances season, right? Okay. From this season, it's gotta be Johnny Mac and Jason.
Yes. How far did they got to go before they?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, because I was thinking pre-jury stuff. Okay.
Not win.
Just not win.
Not okay. Not win final. They can even be in final two and not win.
Okay.
Jason and Johnny Mac.
Jason and Johnny Mac. Maybe Dave. But definitely Jason and Johnny Mac.
Jason, Johnny Mac. Who else would make a good one? From last year, Donnie.
Yeah, bring back Donnie.
And, bring back, Zach. God, I almost said Frankie. Zach. And even bring back Caleb. I like Caleb.
I like Caleb now. I didn't like Caleb when I was on
I like
the show.
Caleb now.
You want to bring back Helen?
No.
Okay.
Oh. I like Helen.
Let's just have like an all dude season, because I really.
What about Frank Udy?
Yeah, I like Frank. I would bring him back.
Bring back Chelsea Hart.
I think just Chelsea goes back too far. I don't think people would remember.
What, season 9?
This is
season 9. Forever.
It's the halfway point.
If we have to bring back girls, Brittany.
Well, Brittany, she's got two little ones, so.
Yeah.
I would like Brittany.
Yeah, I'd like Brittany.
Not Rachel or Brendan, not.
No.
Portia?
No.
I want to bring back Shima.
No, because she's still bitter. She's still bitter.
Monet? What about Monet?
I can bring back Monet. Monet is cool.
You gotta bring back an African American, so you gotta bring back somebody.
Amanda? We'd bring back Amanda.
Yeah.
No, we'd bring back McCray without Amanda.
Or, yeah, one or the other.
I would like to see
them both.
That, yeah.
Yeah, you can't bring them both. Amanda.
Because Amanda still played her game.
Yeah.
McCray wasn't able to play his.
God, the female house guest just kind of. Oh, Lydia?
Yeah.
Lydia's a terrible player.
All you talked about is how much you hated Lydia when she was on the show.
I'm sorry, not Lydia. Who was the one that also had all the tattoos with
Gen City?
Gen City.
Bring back Gen City.
I was thinking all the tattoos. Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't thinking Lydia.
I would like to see Gen City again.
Gen City, yeah. The dark haired, long shaved on the one side.
Half colored red. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Gen City.
Gen City's the
good
one
call.
I was thinking of. Not. If I had to bring back Lydia, I guess. But she would have to shower.
Yeah, she's just a terrible player.
She was so bad.
Her and Natalie were so bad.
Yeah.
No, but I would like Gen City. And, God, one more chick. Because I want to get 5 each.
Are you going to make a short season? A winter season?
Well, probably. Because it's going to be hard to get some of these people back.
That's true.
Cause like, you're not gonna get like a James Ryan, you're not gonna get...
Rainey?
Huh?
Rainey? The Big Brother mom from that one season?
Oh, Rennie from Ken?
Rennie, that's it.
Oh, Rennie could be good. Rennie or the tarantula cock?
Oh, yeah, who was in Texarkana.
The what?
That Matt got out with his Diamond Power of Vito.
Yeah,
the worst play ever.
Oh, Shelly.
Shelly, yes.
Is that her name?
Evil Shelly, yes.
She was the blonde-haired with the tarantula eyes.
She was a good player.
Yeah.
That's why I'd like to see her back. I'd like to see her back. Because I also think she got, like, a shit shake of getting kicked out that way, too.
Yes, she did.
So I would like to see her. You're welcome. I brought her up. Thank you. And that's really all the women I could name that are worth a shit. That aren't, like, old. Like Danielle Bonato or...
She's been on twice anyway.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're not going to bring those, or.
But you wouldn't bring
Danielle
back Jody?
Danielle Reyes.
Want to bring back poor Jody?
No, I wouldn't bring back Jody.
She
would have been terrible. Oh, no, I guess you can bring back Jody. You know who I was thinking of?
She would have been the
chick with the bow ties.
Oh, Jocasta.
Yeah, don't bring back Jocasta, but I guess Jody.
Jody from the coach's season who got kicked out day one.
Day one.
Yeah.
For not even doing anything.
No.
She didn't even get a chance to
jump on a bed.
Yeah. So I would
I will give her back. Yeah, we'll give her one back.
Because most people get a week.
No, it would be cool. I'd like to bring her back, but I'd like her to be the first one evicted.
Well, at least give her some more than 24 hours in the house.
Yeah. No, she can come too. She can come too. But yeah, I mean, of course I would like to see, cause I mean, like, Boogie wouldn't come back, Will wouldn't come back, James Ryan wouldn't.
Actually, in a recent interview, Boogie said, he's been away from it a while, he may come back.
Oh!
He's been on the show 3 times, we don't need Boogie back.
Boogie needs some cash.
Well, evidently, you were telling me he has that 2 restaurants in Sherman Oaks and
He's got a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant in Studio City, and then a restaurant in Sherman Oaks. I think it's called The Woodman, Woodman.
The Woodman is doing really
very well, and it's one of my dentist's favorite places to go.
But
good beer. I didn't know he owned that.
No.
Yeah, but the Dolce Group is all gone. That's been gone
for a while.
Yeah.
3 years now.
With Lenny, Lizzie, what was that guy's name? Lonnie.
Lonnie.
Yes. God, fucking Lonnie. Did he just, like, launder all of Boogie's money at this point?
He spends it all trying to make.
I looked on the website. It's like, how much is this person, the net worth, celebrity worth? Mike Boogie, -$20 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Well, it's because he had that $20 million judgment against him.
Oh, right. What was that for again? Was it for the flight attendant? Or no? What was that even for?
No, it was something else. It was some business deal.
Oh yeah. But it's
they didn't pay any rent on the restaurant on Geisha House in Atlanta, and then they also owned a bowling alley in Atlanta, and supposedly they didn't pay any rent on those properties for over 8 years.
Oh wow!
But that's what was said. That's articles. So
yeah. Because the Woodman is good, and if you're thinking it's Cantina on Ventura in Studio City, there's always people in there too.
It's something.
It's not a Mexican place though.
Yes, it is.
No, it's something Cantina Cancina.
Yes.
It's three names.
It's something Cancina Cantina.
Yeah, that is. I'm thinking of something else. Yes, you're right.
It's that yellow building that they painted that atrocious Mexican yellow.
Yes.
And there's always people in there. Always.
Yeah.
It's always hopping. And the food looks really good. I haven't eaten there, but I walk past it to go to the sushi place up the road, the all-you-can-eat sushi place, and I always see people there inside and outside. Yeah. And
okay, so the next time I'm out there, that's where I'm going.
We'll eat at both, because both are within walking distance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is the Woodman on Woodman?
It's on the corner.
It's on the corner of Ventura and Woodman.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a furniture shop or a Vespa shop that's actually on the corner of Woodman.
A Vespa shop.
Yeah.
And it curves around into the furniture shop.
Yeah.
But yeah, but both are within walking distance, so come stalk us. If any of you fans are going to be at the Woodman and you want to buy us a beer.
Yeah, we'll join you.
We'll be there because we can walk.
We'll walk there and you can buy me a beer.
Yeah. But no, the Woodman actually does really, really good business. There are people there at lunchtime. I mean, because it's kind of like a bar. It's more a bar than a restaurant.
Okay.
But there's people there in the afternoon, too.
Yeah.
And it's also...
It's a bar that serves decent food.
Yeah. And it's also right next to the 1UP, which is a terrible barcade.
Yes.
Terrible. And it's so weird because I was like, man, is it that many people there for the 1UP? Nope. They're all there for the Woodman.
Yep.
So hopefully he can get that money back.
Yeah, I hope so.
So if Mike Boogie... And also, I hear that Mike Boogie loves the Pizza Rev in Studio City and that he's there probably once a week. I have not run into him yet.
We go there often, though.
But I heard from a source that worked on the show since they filmed just on Radford, the house is on Radford, that the guys would go to Pizza Ref because it's quick, good pizza, and they would run into Mike Boogie quite often. Yeah. So, there you go.
Cool. Anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up this, final episode?
Well, I think we need to do our final.
Oh, yes.
Everybody's favorite segment, guys. It's time for everybody's favorite segment, Big Brother. Cheers!
Cheers!
All right. Big Brother. other mic.
Well, I think it has to just go on set. If you're going to be on finale night, you've got to give your biggest cheers to your biggest winner. And I would even do that. What am I about to say? I am not to say if Liz would have won, I would have given her my big cheer. No, that would have been the death of the show. I think I think that Les Moonves just would have canceled season 18 on the live show.
He just walks out. Sorry, baby. Got to do this.
Yeah, you still got the talk.
Yeah.
You know, I taped the talk on Thursday, and I don't think the winner was on.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. I just went real quick. Mm-hmm. But on, like, the summary, it's not, you know, the other 17 winner. And I flipped to Friday, and it was like, no, they didn't say anything about it on Friday either. It's like, what? Les says, no, you're not tainting the talk.
You're not getting your stink on the talk.
Well, that's why Andy wasn't on the talk, because that was...
He wasn't?
No, because of, that was the season of racism, and they would not let him go on the talk because of that.
Oh, whatever. Julie Chen is so stereotypically racist, but it's okay because she's, like, saying things about Asians.
You can talk about yourself, Allison.
Yeah, but she says things like...
I can't insult Polish people. You can.
I can. I know. But she says things like she's surprised she passed your driver's test because she can't, like, open her eyes that way because she's Asian. Like, she says things like this on the talk. No joke. And it's okay because she's also Asian.
Yeah, making fun of yourself.
I can't. Oh, cool. Yeah. I was watching the talk and she was talking about how her mother was very disappointed. She had three girls.
Mm-hmm.
And having girls in a Chinese family in that time was not what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But then one of her father's brother, her uncle, already had a boy and then had another boy. And Julie Chen's mother tried to talk her son into giving Julie Chen's mother the baby boy and raise it as her own so that because Julie Chen's father was the oldest boy, so he's got to have a boy to carry on the family name. So she was going to have one of the other brothers, her uncle, give up one of his boys to Julie Chen's parents so that they would have one. And they were supposed to tell nobody anything. And then Julie Chen's mother said no. Although her uncle had agreed to it, said, okay, I will do that for the family.
Crazy.
That's like when you find out about, like, Jack Nicholson's family, like, that he was raised by his grandmother the whole time and his sister was really his mother, and then he found out later in life because his mother was having him so young and it was going to be shameful upon the family, so they were like, nope, your grandmother's your mother.
A kid I went to high school, her dad, same thing, and it was really weird when they found out.
Yeah, yeah. Weird and wild things.
Okay, so are you saying you're giving your chair to Steve?
I'm giving my chair to Steve for finally making the only strong move of the season.
And what's like your chair?
And for a post-show interview, actually supporting his decisions of getting rid of Jackie and then him and Johnny voting out Meg.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had some logical explanations for that. I don't agree with it, but... He won.
Worked out well for him. All right. What's your jeer?
People are going to hate me because I give the season a jeer.
Mm-hmm.
It was not one of my favorite seasons. Mm-hmm. Cast wise, strategy wise,
game wise,
late competition wise, really a kind of a, I don't want to say a boring season, but it could have been so much more exciting and
a lot of wasted potential.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
A lot is the year of safety.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and those holstered are the pistols.
Holstered pistols. Harder to say than you think.
It is.
Those are Big Brother Mike's cheers and jeers, and they are
final.
And just like that, guys, it's the end of the last episode. Because we don't have any Twitters. We got one from Davey Mike, who threatened to send in his impression of Johnny Mac, which he did not do, so I can't play that. But he should have.
Yeah.
But he has another podcast, so go check him out.
What's it called?
Something with sports.
Oh.
I forget.
Something with sports.
three guys watching sports.
I wish there was somebody whose last name was something. I need a sports podcast called Sports with Something.
Sports or something. But he's got a podcast, but we were just talking. He's like, oh, you guys didn't mute me? And I was like, no, of course not. And then I said, don't feel special. I don't know how to mute people. But yeah, and nothing about Big Brother really came up except that he threatened to send in his Johnny Mac impression, which he didn't.
Oh, he should
have. But he should have. And then I tweeted for other people to send in their Johnny Mac impression, but he's a very hard person to impersonate.
You would think.
Not as good
it
as...
It would be a little easier.
Not as good as I can do it, but, yeah. You know. So I will take that championship. Yeah. But this is it, guys.
This is it.
Happy trails to y'all.
I know.
Till we meet again.
We'll be back.
Will we?
Yeah, we will.
To be continued,
We will always be watching Big Brother.
To be continued,
No matter what, you can guarantee that Brian, Allison, and Big Brother Mike will be watching Big Brother.
But will we be talking about it here on the Interspace?
That remains to be seen.
We'll be reporting weekly. We got to give another team just to make up for the lackluster season this year. I mean, taking a 3-week vacation right in the middle of the season when something was actually happening in the house.
We couldn't help that.
Yeah.
All right, so tweet
Where
us.
There's a will, there's a way.
You should tweet us, guys.
There's always
I think
the
there's more Twitter followers that we have than people listening to the show.
I've been looking at the numbers. Mm-hmm. We've been doing very well this year.
Oh, we haven't.
That's right.
I've been looking at the numbers and we haven't. 100 downloads a week is not good.
Better than last year.
Yeah, but it's also not better than our best year.
Well, yeah.
So tweet us. Let us know if you want us back for next season's Big Brother. Or if I need to somehow fashion a bologna delivery system to Big Brother Mike to put under the door, under the stairs. You can only eat flat things going forward, Big Brother Mike.
The only thing that'll fit under the door.
American singles, cheese singles, bologna. Maybe
smash down bread.
Smash down bread.
Take a bread slice.
On your birthday, I'll slip some pepperoni underneath there. Some pepperoni slice.
Fruit roll-ups?
Yeah, fruit roll-ups.
Unrolled fruit roll-ups.
If they're unrolled.
Pick up all the dirt as they slide across the floor.
I'll even make sure I get you the fruit roll-ups that you can, like, peel the shapes
Ooh.
Out of.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fancy. Little fancy.
And individual little chunks of jerky. You get, like, one little jerky bit. And I'll be like, finish the maze, little mouse, and then I'll give you a piece of jerky.
Very thin taffy. Like, you know, the ones that are just basically between two wax sheets of paper.
A strip of candy buttons.
Ooh.
But as you pull it under the door, the candy buttons pop off.
Yeah.
And all I get is, like, paper. A little bit of candy
it's
buttons.
It's wax paper.
All right, so tweet us. Let us know if you want us back next year. Our numbers are okay. They're not as good as they have been in the past, but let us know. And let us know if you want us to continue All Right, Just One.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know what you guys are thinking. We definitely don't want to, you know, be coming into your ear holes unwanted. That's just like ear rape.
Ew.
Ew. All right, well, tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @NotMakeFriends.
You can always email us. That's podcast@notmakefriends.com.
You can get in touch with us on our Facebook page, Holstered Pistol. It's facebook.com/notmakefriends.
Also, go to our website, which is just notmakefriends.com.
And subscribe on iTunes so that we can ear rape you on the regular and you won't have to remember anything.
Gross, Allison.
What?
Gross.
How many people just took out their earbuds right now? Come on.
They don't want to be ear-ard anymore. Gross. Super gross.
You know who liked it?
Who?
Fozzie.
I'm so sorry, Fozzie. She doesn't mean it. Please don't hate us. Or you can hate her. Don't hate me. Any last words, Big Brother Mike?
I want to come back.
Aww.
Get in your cage!
He's so adorable this time of year.
I need a home.
Survival Carol kick you out?
No. She gives me fruit roll-ups anytime I want them. Or the nice bacon-flavored bacon strips.
Oh, there you go.
Aww.
It's bacon!
He doesn't
bacon! Bacon!
He doesn't know it's not bacon. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks to CBS and Big Brother for a season.
Yes.
Of Big Brother. Johnny Mac, if you want to give me a call, your family tweeted us a couple of times.
Heck yeah. Let us know what's up, bud.
Give me a call. And we'll have a beer.
Yeah.
And floss.
Oh, hell yeah.
That sounds like a date. All right, well, thank you guys so much for listening. Subscribe on iTunes. Get in touch with us. Let us know if you'd like us to continue the show. Other than that, I just want to say go Cubs, go. Hopefully, if the Cubs win, I can be gloating in an All Right, Just One podcast. A hell mouth will just open and
swallow Chicago.
If I'm not in Chicago when they win, I swear.
You swear all the time.
Bye, everyone. I'm sorry, baby, but I can't stay long.
Welcome to our new segment, Not Make Friends, the Backyard Interviews. I'm going to be taking my microphone out, and I'm going to be walking out to the backyard. It's going to be a true backyard interview.
You going to interview the dog or the cactus first?
Nutley the squirrel. I want a Nutley the squirrel. They had so many Nutley the squirrel props this year that I got to get me one.